Not all religious ceremonies are the same. And today on Gospel of Life, you'll view scenes from one that you won't easily forget. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We have Janet Marana, our Associate Director, with us as usual. And Janet, today we're going to talk about a wonderful ceremony you were present for. It took place in Alabama in the summer of 2008. And it was something that we really jumped at the opportunity to do because it was a funeral for aborted babies. There were three of them. And we had a large number of the faithful present, as we wanted there to be. So let's talk about how this came about and share some of it with our viewers today.
Well, for the viewers that follow our shows, they know that there were some babies found in the dumpster outside an abortion clinic in Detroit, Michigan. There were quite a few babies found, and there were a funeral held in Detroit, which we covered on this program. But then other of the babies were brought to Alabama, where they were buried at Hansville, which is where Mother Angelica has a beautiful shrine. And with the permission, of course, they have a special cemetery they're setting up, really the Cemetery of the Innocents, for children who have been killed by abortion. I mean, very often we don't get to bury these children. They're destroyed. They're thrown out basically as garbage or medical waste. But in this case, the abortionist actually was disposing of the children improperly. He was not disposing them as medical waste, which they're supposed to do, which is very costly. He was actually sneaking them out into the dumpster, thinking nobody would be the wiser, and he would save a lot of money. But it was thanks to the pro-lifers. They were outside the abortion clinic during the 40 Days for Life campaign praying, and they observed, you know, a funny pattern, and then later on checked and found the babies. And so we had the opportunity to have a beautiful ceremony where, you know, people are don't lose their dignity even after they're killed like that. And just like, you know, as a New Yorker, it makes me think of September 11th. You know, so many people didn't get the remains of their loved one or just a part of that person, and yet a full funeral was held for that person. It's still the same because we honor the body.
Well, mm-hmm. That was the case here because there were just parts of the bodies.
That's right.
There that we honored that day and That's gave right. Christian burial to. Enoch, Rebecca, and Karen Esther were the names of the babies. One of them, it was just the leg and the thigh and the foot. Another was just, I mean, all three of them were just various body parts. We had this funeral at Hansville, Mother Angelica's shrine, precisely because this was one of her, Mother Angelica's visions for this shrine was that it would be a place where the child would be honored, the child Jesus and the children who are unborn, that this would be a place where life would be affirmed. And so ceremonies like this were something that the sisters really welcomed with open arms.
That's right. And so, like we said, they prepared a burial site. There's a beautiful statue of I think it's our Mother of Sorrows, the Pietà, and the church was packed. I mean, it was a packed church.
Well, we wanted it to be. We spread the word far and wide. Again, because of what you said, the abortion industry wants this to take place, this violence against these children, to take place under the cover of darkness, private, nobody knows about it, unseen, unheard, forgotten. We need to reverse that dynamic. We need to honor these children who are dishonored in the abortion clinic. We need to reverence these bodies that are torn apart in the abortion clinic. We need to lift up in the light of day these children who are covered under the darkness of secrecy. We need to shine the light because you give funerals to people.
That's right.
You don't have funerals for medical waste. You don't have funerals for garbage. You have funerals for human beings who have died. So by having the funeral, the very fact that you're doing that is confronting the culture of death.
That's right. Well, as part of that ceremony, Father, you really gave a very powerful preaching reflection. And we have a clip of that. So why don't we take a look at that now of you preaching at the funeral service for these babies.
The church is not afraid. to give honor and reverence to what God Himself honors. Children killed in secret, today honored in the bright light of day. A deed done under cover of privacy, today we honor them in public. These people want the babies to be forgotten, those who make it possible for them to be killed. Today we remember, and we do so publicly, because we have to make up for this effort to cover over the injustice, to cover over the violence. No, we expose it to the light of day. That is what this movement does. That is what the church does. We in the church do not bow to political correctness, which would say that doing something like this is somehow exploiting these children for a political purpose. Nothing could be further from the truth. We are here not for any kind of political or ideological purpose. We're here because of what Almighty God has done. He has entrusted us to the care of each other. He commands us to reverence both body and soul, and He commands that the dead be buried. It's a corporal work of mercy. And we do it publicly.
Yes, friends, it was a marvelous day. So many of the people are coming. And, you know, in the next clip, we're going to show just various parts of the ceremony itself and the burial itself. And, you know, Janet, that we gave the people the opportunity to look inside the casket.
That's right.
And to us, that, too, was a critical part of this ceremony. Because people need to see that the bodies are there. They need to see that the bodies are real. It's a way of connecting with the child. It's just like when we have a wake service. Casket is usually open, right?
That's right.
I mean, we connect with that person. It's a way of saying goodbye. It's a way of acknowledging our common humanity in the flesh, mm-hmm. and of honoring the bodies of those that are, like us, truly human beings.
I know. And, you know, very often people say, oh, children shouldn't see what abortion is, and we shouldn't show those children, you know, the images of abortion. That's going to be too disturbing, too upsetting for them. Well, at this service, it was really a clear-cut example of how the children weren't upset. They were respectfully coming up and paying their respects. You saw parents lifting up smaller children,
right.
so that they could look into the casket. Yeah. These weren't parents who were saying, don't look, turn away, shielding their eyes. No, these were parents that saying, look, this is what abortion is. It's very sad, but we're here to give honor to these children. And they were lifting the children up and allowing them to look in and say a brief little prayer and then move on. It was quite beautiful to see. And like I said, those children didn't shun away or get frightened or traumatized or run screaming from the church. No, they understood what was going on. Why? Because the parents prepared them for it, explained it to them, and educated. And that's what we have to parents realize that with abortion, you start with they're very young. And talk about it. And talk about how it's killing a baby and why it's wrong. And then when there's an opportunity to show them an image, you can show them an image as long as you've done the proper preparation. And that's what we saw as a visual example of these parents and how these families conducted themselves. It was quite beautiful to see.
Well, why don't we take a look then at the clip where we show the different parts of the ceremony of this funeral for the babies in Hansville, Alabama.
All right.
My brothers and sisters, the Lord is a faithful God who created us all according to His image. All things are of His making. All creation awaits the day of salvation. We now entrust the souls of these children, Enoch and Rebecca and Karen Esther, who were killed by abortion. We entrust them to the abundant mercy of God. May these beloved children find a home in His kingdom. Amen. to you we pray. Lord God, you entrusted Karen, Esther, Enoch, and Rebecca to our care, and now you embrace them in your love. Take Karen, Esther, Enoch, and Rebecca into your keeping, together with all the children who have died. Comfort us, your sorrowing servants, who seek to do your will and to know your saving peace. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, we're asking you today to pass along to others the message that you saw scenes from this funeral. Some of you were there because we advertised it nationwide and people came down to Hansville. But the clips of this funeral are also on our website. You can go to the gospeloflife.com website and be linked to our YouTube channel where you can watch there online the same things you just saw. And in that way, Janet, they can share this with their email lists, link to it from their own website. And that's important, right? That people see the thing. That we don't just talk about it and tell people about it. They'll let them see these same images.
That's right. Because that's the kind of thing that really affects people. I know for myself, I was personally there standing at the graveside, but you know, when it came time to lower the casket and the sound of the dirt hitting the casket, it's very real. It's very emotional to see that happening, and it puts a real feeling onto this is happening in our country, that children are dying like this. You know we use that number all the time, 4,000 children a day die from legal abortion. Well, imagine that casket going into the ground, you know, that many times. That's what that visual is for you.
Yeah, it's not, the issue isn't real enough for people.
That's
and
right.
This is a key theme of our ministry, a key purpose of these programs, a key effort that all of us on our team are engaged in day by day. Make it more real. Quote what's going on, show what's going on, and treat these babies as real people. Now, treating them as real people means that when they die, we give them a funeral. By the same token, treating them as real people means that when they live, we give them defense.
That's right.
We speak up. We intervene. We do for the unborn the very same thing we would do if a born person, if a 5-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 50-year-old were in danger for their lives. Unless we start responding to these children as the real people that they are, we'll never convince those who don't know that they're real people that, in fact, they are.
That's right. And, you know, at Hansville there in Alabama, the sisters have made a beautiful area. It's like a garden with the beautiful statue. And these are not the first children to be buried there. Just a few months before that, one of the sisters' nieces had lost a baby to miscarriage, and they were able to get the remains of that child and bury that child there also. And so I think it's the hope of the sisters that women who have lost a baby, whether it's to abortion, miscarriage, you know, if you didn't have a chance to bury that child, this is a place where you can go and feel that you can pray and be in touch and memorialize your own child if you haven't given that opportunity.
And to remind our viewers, we have talked on this program before about funerals for miscarried babies.
That's right.
Burials. Very important. Why? Because it's culture. Culture is the way we think, talk, and respond to things as a community. And if an unborn child is a real person, as unborn children are, then when somebody loses such a child by miscarriage, you want to really mourn a real loss, a real member of the family who really died, and so you should have the funeral. And we have to sensitize people in the different professions
That's right.
to begin responding to it that way.
Yeah, I know people who, you know, they had to really struggle with the doctor to get the remains of their miscarried child, and they had to struggle, you know, with the church and the funeral directors in order to have it, but they were able to have a service. So we encourage people to stand up, and you've lost a child, and you deserve to have the same rights.
And at gospeloflife.com, we have the link to some of those ministries where those who have endured miscarriage can find the assistance they need to have a funeral.
That's right.
Well, thanks, Janet. And brothers and sisters, one more lesson to be drawn from this is if you do sidewalk counsel and pray outside abortion mills, don't be afraid to check those garbage bins, because in those bins might be bodies that need to be buried. Remember, it is a corporal work of mercy to bury the dead. God is the creator of the body. God will raise the body. The body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We know all this from Scripture. So if the bodies of these babies are being dishonored, let's look for them. Let's rescue the bodies. If we can't rescue the babies while they live, which is, of course, something we need to be doing each day also, then for those who have died, let's at least rescue their bodies and give them the kind of burial that you saw today. Let me know if there's any need for these ceremonies. We'll be right back.
Now you can make a difference in the lives of the unborn for as little as $12. Make your donation today, and we'll send you a copy of the pro-life masterpiece, Earth's Trash, Heaven's Treasure. Vivid imagery and striking colors come together in a painting that captures the essence of eternal hope for the unborn. You'll help change the hearts and lives of people everywhere. Plus, you'll have a treasured piece of artwork that serves as a daily reminder of the beauty of precious living souls. Make your donation today.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ, and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Friends, welcome to our action segment. One thing every believer can do to stop abortion is to pray that it stop. But we want to talk today about a very focused and specific way to do that and to invite others to do it. Janet, prayercampaign.org is our prayer website. Let's talk about how we use that and what we invite believers to do.
Well, first of all, we have two practical prayers up there that can be said every day throughout the year. That's the prayer to end abortion and the prayer for the closing of an abortion mill. In addition to those prayers being up on our website, we have prayer cards with those prayers on them for the end to abortion and the closing of the mill. And we will send it to them absolutely free of charge. And then they could take those prayer cards and tape them inside the hymn books in their church. I know many churches, what they do now as part of their church service, they say that prayer at the end of every service so that everyone is aware.
It can be said in church, it can be said in the family, it can be said in pro-life groups, in schools, and, of course, by individuals. But let's talk about specifically, first of all, the prayer to end abortion every day is the one we want every believer to say every day. Because if we get people saying it every day, then you have people thinking about abortion every day, and they're going to look to do other things as well. So it's going to draw them in, it's going to get them involved. And the prayer doesn't simply ask God to end abortion. It is a prayer of commitment that the individual will speak up and do things to protect the unborn. Now, the other prayer you mentioned is if there is a specific abortion mill in one's community It enables them as individuals, families, or as an entire church congregation, it enables them to focus in on that place and pray for the conversion and closing of that particular killing center.
Right.
That's
and
the difference.
When you said the pray for the conversion now, Father, we're talking about the abortionist himself, but we're also talking about the conversion of all the people who work inside that abortion clinic.
That's right.
You know, and of course, obviously, then praying for the men and women who are going there to destroy their children, praying for their conversion of heart also.
Right.
Now, like you had said, each person can have those prayer cards. I know people that keep them on their night table so that they can say that prayer when they get up in the morning or before they go to bed at night. Someone told me that they have it taped to their medicine cabinet in their bathroom so that as they're brushing their teeth, they say that prayer. Because people say, oh, where am I going to have the time to add this to my prayer life with all the other prayers I say? I know someone, while they brush their teeth, they say their prayers. But like I said, the pastors, we really need the ministers to get involved and use those prayers in their church services. But in addition, on the website, prayercampaign.org, we post different prayers every month that also coordinate with the theme. So, for example, around election season, we'll have prayers for the election. Thanksgiving, we'll have a special prayer for Thanksgiving. When it gets to the Christmas season and to the new year, what better time to have a special prayer for life as you start a new year? You know, I know very often, Father, you preached about the idea that a new year represents that God gives you a book with empty pages to write on. And what better way to have a focused prayer to say as you start that new year?
Mm-hmm. On the prayercampaign.org website, people can let us know that they've signed up to do this. And that also helps, too. It helps us to be then in communication if they wish. Otherwise, they can just download the prayer and use it in the different ways that you've described.
That's right.
Prayer is the foundation of everything that we do, obviously. It's not a substitute for doing other things. In fact, when we pray, we are going to be led into more action, and that's certainly what we hope will happen here.
That's right.
Thanks very much, Janet. Friends, we ask you to promote not only prayercampaign.org on your websites and to your email lists and in your newsletters, but also gospeloflife.com, which is our ministry website. We ask you to promote this program. And may we ask you also for your financial support, because this ministry relies completely on believers like you to keep it going. We rely on you to be able to produce these programs, to be able to travel the nation, do the pro-life work that we do, send out the literature that we send. Go to gospeloflife.com. You'll be able to either send us checks in support of this work or donate online and pledge to donate monthly if you so desire. Our pastoral team is also willing to come to your community. Let us know if you'd like that to happen, and we'll see you again next week.
You are looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion. Haven't we gone too far?
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. Father Frank A. Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries, is an internationally known pro-life activist, speaker, and author. He has been the National Director of Priests for Life since 1993 and appears regularly in the religious and secular media. He has served at the Vatican's Pontifical Council for the Family. He has been a spiritual guide for Norma McCorvey, the former Jane Roe of the Supreme Court's abortion decision, Roe v. Wade. Father Frank is president of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, an umbrella group of many denominations working to end abortion. Father Frank is also the National Pastoral Director and Board Chairman of Rachel's Vineyard, the world's largest ministry of healing after abortion. Father Frank is a Catholic priest of the Diocese of Amarillo, Texas, and carries out his pro-life mission with the permission of his bishop. For more information on Father Frank and Priests for Life, visit www.priestsforlife.org. Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.